Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. I want to remind you and have attention to all area jazz vocalists, musicians. You are invited to the historic photo shoot, A Great Day in Baltimore, Monday, September 13th, 9 a.m. at the War Memorial Plaza in downtown Baltimore. The photo shoot will bring together local and regional musicians in Baltimore's rich musical history, past and present, in support of jazz in the city. Proceeds from the photograph will benefit the UB Blake Cultural Center's jazz workshop programs. For more information, you can call Mia Miata at 443-204-1730. That's 443-204-1730. We are joined now by Fahima Vorgets. Fahima Vorgets was born in Afghanistan, came here, I think, if I have this right, in the 1990s, after the surge of the Taliban. She's director of the Afghan Women's Fund, which has been building schools and clinics throughout Afghanistan. We hear about the famed work of Mr. Mortensen and his work there and the books he's written. Fahima is a woman who does this work every day with her organization, Afghan Women's Fund, throughout Afghanistan. And we ask her to join us here today to talk about her experiences there, what's going on in Afghanistan from the ground up, from someone who knows it well. And Fahima, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Your chance to talk to Fahima Vorgets, hear about her work, and to learn something from folks who have firsthand experience. 410-319-8888. Fahima, this is you just got back. Was it last night?
Yes, yesterday.
So, and one of the things you said to me on the phone this morning when we spoke was that the things are deteriorating on the ground in Afghanistan. To talk a bit about how this trip felt more dangerous to you than the ones you've been on before.
Yes, actually the security is deteriorating. The situation is getting worse and worse on the ground. The Taliban and the insurgents are getting stronger. And also the dissatisfaction with the international community, with the NATO and with the ISF, it's also that is getting stronger, and people are unhappy. The poverty is getting worse, and the gap between the upper class and the lower class is getting bigger. The warlords, the drug dealers, the criminals, the corrupt government of Karzai has a lot of power, and the ordinary people, they are not benefiting from the situation, and you know their situation is getting worse and worse.
So, finish what you were saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, the places that I was going to in the last many years, we have projects. In some of the places I couldn't go this time when I went there because things were very bad. Security was a big problem. And actually the villagers, they came to me. They did not want me to go there, some of the villagers. They came to visit me, but I was not able to go there.
It's that bad because you've traveled pretty freely in Afghanistan up to this point.
Yes, I have been traveling a lot in Afghanistan in the very rural areas, but because the situation is getting worse, the villagers, they were concerned for my security, and they asked me to that if we could visit elsewhere, not in that village. In the village, I would have been safe, but the roads are bad.
The roads are bad because they're in bad condition. The roads are bad because it's dangerous because of who you find on those roads.
Yes, because of the security. I don't know if you heard a month ago or so, a few aid workers were killed in the way from Nuristan to Badakhshan. And just yesterday or the day before, a few other aid workers, Afghans, were killed there. And it's just that people are very unhappy with what is going on. From one side is the Taliban, and from the other side is the NATO bombing innocent people, killing innocent people, the U.S. killing innocent people. And, you know, people don't know what to do. They don't have jobs. They don't have security. They don't have money. They don't have food. I have sent you a couple articles, Mark.
That, yes, you did. I read them. Yeah.
That it says that, you know, while there are billions and billions of dollars going to Afghanistan, but the ordinary people of Afghans don't benefit from it, and people are starving there.
Are starving, you said?
Well, that's what it says. They don't have food. They are, I mean, there is a fear of starvation this winter.
So the projects you're working on, and it's amazing what you've started there. You're in what is it, seven? You have seven projects going on at one time?
We have built seven schools so far, but we have other projects. So we have many, many women co-ops. We have like over 20 women co-ops, and we have built many wells, irrigation, for irrigation and clean water, and we have built clinics and have the very people who, the very girls who were under the tent a few months ago or last year, now they have beautiful schools and they learn computer, they have running water, they have electricity, and they learn in the school. The school we also use for women literacy classes and for vocational training. People want change. People want education. Actually, men are coming to me and asking me if we could build schools for their girls. They are donating their land, and they're asking us to build schools for them. But what we do, it's not enough, Mark. We are a small organization. We don't have the resources. We don't have the funds. We have very limited funds that we are raising in building, schools. We're working on the education. This is something that needs to be done by the international community, by the U.S., by the Afghan, by others. Afghanistan needs a big boost, and that is not there, and that's why people are frustrated. You know, I was also one of those people at the beginning when U.S. invaded Afghanistan, was optimistic. But that optimism is no longer there, and a lot of Afghans who were optimistic, they are no longer optimistic about it, and actually they're frustrated.
Well, I want to ask you a few questions about that. I mean, a lot of the programs you started are for women and for girls. The schools you've begun as well.
Yes, mostly for girls, but we also have some boys too.
What about all the reports we read here about the attacks? Recently, there was a report in the New York Times just the other day about a girls' school in Afghanistan. I forgot the city it was in. That was attacked by some gas that people had laid there. That girls are being attacked all the time who go to schools. How's that affected your work?
Well, you should understand, Mark, that this is not always the Taliban who are doing that. The Taliban are the scapegoat. Not the Taliban are good people. They are despicable people, but they are not always the Taliban who are doing that. Sometimes the criminals are doing things like that too. Just like in this country, I always give the example of Columbine or Virginia Tech. Things like this do happen, but not always the Taliban. I have gotten the quest from the areas where the Taliban are very strong there. The villagers came and asked me to open a school, and actually we did. And the school is still open there. We give school supplies and schools and so for girls. The places that we have our schools, they are safer schools and mostly are protected by the villagers because they want schools. And once they want them, they donate the land. Once the school is built, they protect them. So far, nothing happened to the schools that we have, and I hope it does not happen, anything happen to them.
I know you've always had this. You've been fighting for women's rights for a long time.
Yes.
In Afghanistan, and you're the fight of women's rights everywhere you go. But and the stories we read in the press here, like the horrendous picture that was on the cover of Time magazine of the young woman Bibi Aisha, who had her nose and ears cut off by her husband, who she was sold to when she was 12 years old. Just for our listeners who have this idea that Afghanistan that is a misogynist, patriarchal, dangerous country for women, give us a bit of the reality. I mean, because I'm sure that, as you said, there are a lot of men who are supporting your work with their daughters. So give us a sense of what's really going on here, would you?
Well, Unfortunately, what is going on in Afghanistan, that it was under our watch. There are over 40 countries, Western countries, who are talking about the women's rights in Afghanistan, and they say that they liberated the women of Afghanistan. It happened under our watch while we are there. There are incidents like that happening all the time in Afghanistan. Because those who are in power, they're misogynists. The Karzai government, most of the cabinet members, the warlords, the Northern Alliances, the jihadis, just like Taliban, they're misogynist groups who don't believe in women's rights. When incidents like this happen, when a thing like this happen, there is no law to protect these women. And if there was a law to protect these women, this would not happen as much. But because those men are against women's rights, the perpetrators are not punished. You see these incidents often, but that is not the whole picture of Afghanistan. The villagers, the men who come to me and ask me for opening a school for the girls or opening literacy classes for the women, they believe in women's rights. Probably they don't believe in equal women's rights, but they believe in some rights for women, and they want change in Afghanistan. What you saw in the Times magazine, that does not reflect the whole Afghanistan and not every man in Afghanistan. Although the men who are in power, they're misogynists, and they are not protecting the rights of these women. But a lot of men in Afghanistan, they want their women, their girls, their wives to be educated, to take a step further.
We're talking with Fahima Vorgets, who just got back from Afghanistan last night. She's a human rights activist, director of the Afghan Women's Fund. You can link on to the site we have linked onto our website, I think, Women for Afghanistan, womenforafghanwomen.org. It's an amazing story and an amazing mission these people have. It's creating schools and clinics throughout Afghanistan. They partner with small towns. They're partnering with institutions, partnering with schools, like right here in Baltimore. I think they partner with Garrison Forest to do their work in Afghanistan. And Fahima is tireless in her work, going back and forth, fighting for the freedom of the country she was born in, and creating projects that really need to come to light. I'm thinking about all the money we've poured into Afghanistan. You sent me one of these articles that talked about the $1.3 billion we spent on construction projects in Afghanistan. But according to that article and you and others, that money really hasn't done much to change Afghanistan or reconstruct that country.
Because most of the money is being used by the contractor, and most of the money came back to this country. And whatever was left there is also was being used by the warlords and by those who have power. The ordinary people of Afghanistan did not benefit from it. And that is why, Mark, people are very angry, because in 8 years, 9 years after U.S. invasion, lives have not changed for them very much. And the corrupt government are sucking their blood, and most people don't have jobs. Imagine over 40% unemployment in the country, and that brings devastation. Most of the people who are helping the Taliban, they don't believe in Taliban, they don't like Taliban, but because the Taliban are paying them, those people do help the Taliban, or at least they don't fight the Taliban. But if people have incentive, if they have something to change their life, they will protect them, and then they can use it against the Taliban. But right now, if their lives have not changed, from one side the NATO is bombing them, and from the other side the Taliban are killing them, and they say that why should we fight the Taliban? And they are very frustrated with what is going on there. Another thing that I wanted to, I forgot to mention it, that when I go to Afghanistan, to the very rural areas, most of my volunteers are men. They are volunteering to come and protect me, and they tell me that they'll protect me with their blood. They know that I'm a women's rights activist. They know that I work for women's rights and I work for education of women. But they are supporting me, they're protecting me, and they are doing my work. While I'm here, they keep calling me and they do the work for me, free of charge. No, nothing is asked.
So when you see that, and that what you're describing, and you described this to us before. I remember a conversation we had a few months back about whether or not the United States should leave Afghanistan or stay in, and all the people in the room had been involved in Afghanistan working there with very different ideas of what the future would bring if the U.S. and NATO troops left. And I just wonder where, you know, if it's so difficult now for you and others like you to reconstruct the nation, to build schools, to build your clinics, what would happen, do you think, if the United States and NATO pulled out?
Well, but the United States is not reconstructing Afghanistan. You know, if you remember, after the invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, every leader in the world was saying that the Taliban are dismantled, that there were only a few hundred Taliban who took Afghanistan hostage, or the Afghan people hostage. But that few hundred now, they're talking about several thousand, like 40, 50,000 dedicated Taliban. Why is that? You know, after 9 years, after 1.3 trillion whatever money that was spent in Afghanistan, it is still the Taliban are getting stronger and we could not defeat them. You know, it did not help Afghanistan, and I feel like the foreign policy is such that they are not really after the Taliban. They are not really getting rid of the Taliban, and they are not really helping the Afghan people to have a better life. If that is the case, we will be there for 9 more years. More of our soldiers will be killed. More of Afghans will be killed, and we would be still leaving Afghanistan in a chaos. That is why I am not for military intervention in Afghanistan. That is why I feel like the only way that we can help Afghans to help the people of Afghanistan to have a better life. And if we do that, we can bring those people to our side. And you know, if they know that their life will change, if they know that they will have roads and school for the children, clinic and jobs, you know, they will come to our side. They won't help the Taliban. They won't support the Taliban. They will themselves go after them and get rid of them. And besides, the military, the American military, say that only 11 to 15% of those who are helping the Taliban are the real Taliban who are really believing in the ideology of the Taliban. The rest of them are just people who are angry because they are being bombed up. And they are angry because of the occupation, where they have no job, and that because they're poor, you know, the Taliban pay them. That's why they're helping the Taliban. That's why I'm against the military, and I feel like the only way that we can win Afghanistan is by helping the people, the ordinary people of Afghanistan, to have a better life.
You can join us here at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Fahima Varghese, who is director of the Afghan Women's Fund, who just came back from Afghanistan and lived in this area for a long time. We've had her on the show many times over the last 15 years, over the last 10 years that this war in Afghanistan has been going on. The lines are open at 410-319-8888. You can log on and also see how you can become part of the work they are doing in Afghanistan for Americans to contribute to the building and life of that country that we've been in. October 7th will be 10 years since we started the war in Afghanistan, which was supposed to get rid of al-Qaeda, but now it's become – now what people say we've done is create a war that is primarily fighting Pashtuns, fighting the Pashtun people, who are the largest single group of people who live in Afghanistan that are fueling the Taliban – and that we've reached a point that is so large it can't be contained. I think many people want to see the U.S. troops get out of Afghanistan and NATO forces get out of Afghanistan, but people also fear and think about what comes next.
Well, that's what I said, Mark, earlier, that I said we go to a country, we make a mess out of that country, and then we say that if we leave, there will be chaos. it is chaos right now. If you read the Afghan website or the newspapers, you see that, you know, every day many, many people are killed here, killed there, and, you know, these people have relatives, they have families, and think about it, and, you know, how angry people are. I mean, you know, it's war there, and the U.S. troops did not bring any peace. And besides, when they go with their weapons, when they go with their bombs and tanks and this and that, they're not going to build roads or schools or bridges with their tanks and with their weapons. They're going to use them. And innocent people are being killed there. And that is not the answer. And we are actually adding to the numbers of the Taliban. We are adding to the strength of the Taliban by sending more troops instead of helping the people. I cannot emphasize enough that the troops are not needed in Afghanistan. What is needed in Afghanistan to reconstruct Afghanistan, help Afghanistan to have a better life. That is all what Afghanistan needs.
There was a great quote in one of the articles that it came from the Frontier Post, which is a Pakistani newspaper, from the border towns here, Afghanistan, Quetta and Peshawar. And this was the quote, and let's talk about this one. It said, "Afghans have little to be grateful to America for. It may have pumped in billions of dollars in aid, but only theoretically. Practically much of that has been siphoned off and plowed back by American contractors, making them rich, while Afghans get only lollipops."
Exactly.
And we spent $229 billion there, and millions of people are starving. I mean, it's part of the story that we don't seem to get a great deal from our political leaders here when they talk about more money for Afghanistan and for the war.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the reason that the U.S. is there in Afghanistan is not to get rid of Al-Qaeda or get rid of the Taliban. If that was the case, we could have got rid of Al-Qaeda and Taliban in the first year. But that was not the case because, you know, there we are talking about the medieval Taliban who don't have the weapons or they are not sophisticated, they are not educated. You know, and we with our army and the 40 more countries with the best army, sophisticated army, we still cannot, you know, defeat the Taliban. It's a joke. There are a lot of other things there that, you know, the public does not know about it, and that's why the war is prolonged, and that's why we are there in Afghanistan.
So I wonder, as you come back, I mean, even people who support the war in the beginning, people we've interviewed here, Kayum Karzai and others, there's an increasing depression among Afghans who I interview and talk with about their journeys to and from that country.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a sense of hopelessness because this keeps spiraling down into more madness. I know you are in love with the place you were born, but what keeps it going for you?
Because I believe in women's rights. There was a time that women had a better life there. They had more rights than 40 years ago. They had more rights than today. And I think that, we still can do it. Even if the government does not help, even if the international community does not help, the changes that we bring, the little changes that we bring, actually the little money that we spend, it brings a lot of changes. Right now, we have in one of our shura, I'm just giving you one example. In one of our women co-op, we have 1,100 women. Think about it, 1,100 women in one co-op, how many people are they supporting? Those women, 3-4 years ago, they could not read and write. They did not have any skill. They never thought that they would make money. You know, and like that, we have 22 or 23 shuras. Probably not all as big, but they are between 200, 500 or so people. You know, that's what we do. The schools that we are open, the 7 schools that we open, they are between 300 to 1,200 students in each school. You know, several thousand students, girls who are educated by our effort there. And you know that if you help a woman, the effect will last for 5 generations. And that's why I am doing what I am doing, and I'm having hope that the little that we do will bring changes, and the effect is great.
We've been talking to Fahima Vorgetz, and you can go to our website and go to her website and see how to support the work they're doing. Fahima Vorgetz will be here Saturday, September the 11th, 9/11, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Second Presbyterian Church at 4200 St. Paul Street. We'll bring you more information about that in the coming week so you can meet her and support the kind of work that actually makes a difference in Afghanistan. And Fahima Vorgetz, thank you so much for the work you do. And stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to take a very short break. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines, where you can get your weekly fix of arts and culture, food and drink, home and design, style and shopping, green and sustainable products. Up-to-date information can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. We'll be right back, and we go from Afghanistan to the streets of Baltimore to talk with folks who want to be in the House of Delegates. Stay with us.